Have you guys
seen Talladega Nights?
Yeah, I know you.
I'm gonna kill you like a spider monkey.
Love that movie. Both my sons, Walker and Texas Ranger.
Okay, is that not one of the movies that if it's on a TBS or a TNT or whatever it's on, and there's commercials playing, you just don't care.
Yeah,
you're just
awesome.
Like, yeah, this works.
The old drunken dad, Gary Cole, plays that role. Yeah. It's such a funny ass movie, and Sacha Baron Cohen is just like ridiculously weird in that movie. It's awesome. How many alarms does Emily have? She's got like 11 alarms to get to work in the morning.
Damn,
how
like
are you
six.
Doing?
She's an alarmist.
I just have to. I have a couple that are warning shots. One that's like, okay, stop it, get
I
off,
like
get
the
off.
Emily,
shot.
Why don't you just put your phone on the other side of the room so you have to get out of bed and
that's too much.
No, see, she's got like a warning shot. Like the first one, you don't really have to get up. Then a second one goes off. Then apparently you have to wake up.
And then I sit in bed and I go on TikTok.
TikTok, right.
And then I have a thing. Okay, stop getting on TikTok.
End of
now
TikTok.
Get up.
Yeah.
And then now make your breakfast. Now get all your clothes on. And now get out the door.
Why don't you have like one alarm like a normal person?
And
it's
just
put it on
the other side of the room that would require you to get up, walk, and then you're up.
It also tells you like what time it is. And so you can figure out where to go and what to
do
based on this thing called a clock now.
What?
Do you hit the snooze?
I'm not a snooze guy.
I hit it.
No.
John, I know you're
I'm up anyway.
Yeah,
you're an hour before your alarm goes off.
Right, normally.
Emily, read the poll. Where are we on that poll?
What is the poll? Right, the poll is the alien poll,
yeah,
right?
Who's most likely to be an extraterrestrial in disguise at 7:10? So we got Travis, Scott, Steve Mason, and Chris Morales. The person in the lead is Steve Mason at 44.2%.
Yeah.
Closely behind is Scott Kaplan with 35.7%.
It would be one of those two for me.
Travis back in the pack, huh?
I'm part of a strange life form that eats dinner in bed.
Yeah.
That smokes a lot of weed.
Last,
I love that.
Yesterday,
I feel like those two things are related, by the way.
We should replay the interview we did with Vin Scully in 2016. And Mason said, we've never had Vin Scully on the show. And he does this all the time.
I didn't remember. I honestly did. I'm so glad. And by the way, here's the advantage I have. I listened to it, and it was like hearing it for the first time. I didn't even know what
I had. One time I talked about the number
like,
of times
that's a great question,
Kim Kardashian on the show. And Mason goes, we've never had Kim Kardashian on the show. And we played a clip back where he's talking to her. Still didn't remember.
I still think it was edited. My favorite
thing about Mason interviews is before he ever has, it's a big one, he's always going to talk about how he's going to hold their feet to the fire, how he's going to make people. Rob Palinka, Genie Buster are going to come on the show, and I'm going to ask them all the hard questions.
Their
is that what you
fire.
Did? You
they
hold Vin Scully's feet to the fire?
What are you going to say? The great Vin Scully.
How was the show yesterday with all the calls and the memories?
One of the best shows we've ever, you know, seriously, it's one of those shows that you'll remember because it happened. It's a little bit like the Tommy Lasorda show where we really got to celebrate the life of Tommy Lasorda. We got to celebrate the life of Vin Scully. Unbelievably cool. And, you know, I think generally it's not like with Lasorda, it's not a super sad thing because, you know,
lived a great life. Absolutely.
Lives,
94 years old.
Accomplished lives and all that stuff. But sad to see him go but left us clearly, no matter what channel you turn to yesterday, there were Vin Scully tributes. I mean, he left his mark in this town.
We were trying to come up with ideas, and I think you guys had mentioned it as well, but just trying to come up, what can they do at Dodger Stadium on top of what is already there that could just dedicate? We were talking, BK and I were talking about, if you had a place you can go to that you can hear Vin's calls, you can see interviews that he has with them. I'm just trying to think, right? Because so much of your memories with Vin is listening to his voice.
Sure.
Is there a place that they can create or some type of environment that they could create where fans can kind of walk in casually at any time during a game, say, I'm going to go to this area where they do this for Vin Scully?
Do you have the specs on this thing?
It's called the Internet.
Yeah, it is called the Internet. It is called YouTube. You've been talking about YouTube all day.
Think about this. You're at Dodger Stadium, and there's an area you could go to where, you know, obviously it's just dedicated
like maybe out in center field by all the restaurants and stuff.
What? Okay, so
because a lot of people congregate out there now.
I mentioned this. There's I'm sure Dodger Stadium has something like this, but there's a Hall of Fame, you could call it, room down in San Diego at Petco Park,
right?
And it's Trevor Hoffman and Ken Caminiti and Tony Gwynn, but it's kind of closed off, so you got to kind of open the doors you go in. So
there aren't that many.
No, there really isn't.
It's San Diego. There aren't that many Hall of Famers.
There really isn't.
Pretty much beginning and end there.
I think I just named them.
Yeah, you got them.
Nailed it. Is Wally on the list? I would put Joyner on there. But something along those lines that can have that that type of representation. By the way, it's
kind of a phone booth in San Diego for the Hall of Famers, right? It's Petco. It's like one on each wall. You just go in.
It's a little small.
Is Trevor Hoffman in?
Trev's got it. Yeah, yeah, he is. Yeah, Trevor Hoffman is in the Hall of Fame.
So it's Gwynn. Trevor Hoffman. And Dave Winfield didn't go in as a Padre, right?
No.
He went in as a Yankee,
I think.
Now we're talking about it's the actual Hall of Fame, not the San Diego.
Yeah, so I think there may be only two.
Randy Jones, was he in?
He's in. Who did you say was the third? You originally had a name as a third.
Ken Caminiti, he's not
in. Oh, Ken Caminiti's not in,
In, but in their little area that they had, it was just kind of like their Hall of Famers.
Right,
not
okay.
In the,
so they're
Ken Caminiti was on there.
Like Ring of Honor kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who... So, you know, you guys, you know, John, and I listened all the way home after the big meeting on Tuesday. It was great. It was great that you guys were on the air.
But can I just add one thing to that? Bergman texted me in the middle of it. And I'm like, I was watching the game, but there was no way I was making any appearances anywhere that night. But I hear it was really cool.
I'm wondering, Steve, this feels like something you would be interested in. Should we do this for you? You're still with us.
It's too soon. It's way too soon.
But, you know, just have
a living funeral.
You come on and do the tribute to Steve Mason.
Interestingly, I have a story
I don't want to say, because, you know, just get it over with now. And you could bring everyone in and we could all just talk about how wonderful you are and how blessed we are to have your memory with us.
So let me throw something out there. So and they listen. One's mom and stepdad listen. So I'm going to tell the story straight up. They were going to. Juan's grandmother is older now, and she owned a big restaurant in Cheyenne, Wyoming, or Laramie, Wyoming. She was like a big deal in town. So they wanted to have everybody come to say hi to her, almost like a viewing, but while she's still alive. And they canceled it. I personally think it's a terrible idea, don't you?
Living funeral?
living funeral.
Yeah, but how many funerals have you been to where you hear all these nice things and you say, boy,
I wish they would have liked to hear
they
that.
They would have enjoyed hearing some of this.
Is the living funeral a thing? Should we try that?
There was a Golden Girls episode where it was.
Oh, was there a living funeral for one of the Golden Girls? Yeah. Which
a living
one?
Celebration.
The mom.
The mom, Estelle Getty.
Estelle Getty, right. Yeah. Basically, essentially sort of faked her own funeral so she could hear the story.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, that's smart. I think that's a really good
idea. I just feel like you'd appreciate that. And I don't think anybody would like to hear nice things about themselves.
Very interested in this concept and idea.
This feels sellable. I feel like I should call Tommy.
It does. You know what? We should call Justin, the new sales
manager. Oh, there you go.
Mason's living. Yeah, no. Living. I think it's
dark.
Just generally a bad idea.
And Joey Gallo's first at bat as a Dodger strikes out looking.
No, give him some time. John. So give him some time.
And then he kind of did the thing where he looked at his bat.
Something wrong with
the
bat.
By the way, Dave Roberts.
It'd make more sense looking at your bat if you actually would have swung it.
Did you see what Dave Roberts said? Dave Roberts said he thought that there were mechanical issues with Gallo's swing, and they think that they and Robert Vanskoyak, one of the hitting instructors, can fix it.
Well,
so,
Robert Vanskoyak.
Skoyak, yep.
I would think that if it's a mechanical thing with your swing, you actually have to take the bat off your shoulder.
So he just looked at strike three?
Oh,
did he swing at all?
No.
I want to see Joey
earlier in the bat.
I
want to
see Joey Gallo doing the old Lethal Shooter videos where the spinning rim with the nails on it. What's the equivalent of that with Robert Vanskoyak or whatever?
One to mention Robert Vanskoyak on the show, am I? Oh, no. Travis Rogers.
Pride of Heart High in Valencia.
There you go.
Such a name dropper.
It's total name dropper. Yeah, no, I actually, you know, looking at the Dodgers last night, I looked at them and thought, they've got so much talent coming back. Somebody's going to have to go down when they activate Chris Taylor. Is it James?
And Justin Turner.
And Justin, is it James Outman?
Yeah,
He's hitting 600.
He's hitting 600. Is it Miguel Vargas who was
also
hitting
600?
He's hitting 667.
Is it Trace who's also possible?
1-0.
Yeah, Lux singles home Muncy. Muncy had a double. So
the question isn't whether or not the Dodgers are good enough. It's just whether or not, like San Diego, for example, is made up enough of the gap where you could look at them and go, yeah, they could beat the Dodgers in a when would they play? They wouldn't play until 7, right? Like, it wouldn't be an opening round series.
Dodgers right now.
The Dodgers right now, if the season ended today, would be the one team that gets the bye.
Oh, see, there you
go. But I think Padres and Mets would line up. But, I mean, we still got
There's three wild card teams this year.
By the way, what's the vibe that you guys were getting? I felt like we were talking about this after the trade deadline. Did it feel like were you guys getting a lot of response from Dodger fans as why didn't they? How come they didn't land Juan Soto? I didn't really feel that vibe.
Some of it. I saw tweets that were like that I got. At the same time, I got tweets like, "Thank God we didn't give up Miguel Vargas and Victor Cartaya and James Outman and all these guys that are in the farm system." There were a lot of people that were like that. Dustin May, we don't want to give up Dustin May, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's a balance. I have so many Dodger fans on my timeline, and they're like junky Dodger fans, so they like know the farm system. We know number one prospect Diego Cartaya. It's that sort of crowd. So a lot of people on my timeline, there was a very balanced approach. What about you, John? Were people upset?
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm not. I mean, they're 12 games in front. I mean, it's not like they need a lot. And I think it'll be good for the race, the division race.
Well, not so much for – I don't think there's anything going to happen in the division race.
Not this year, but next year.
But next
will.
Year
yeah.
in the future.
Yeah, when they get Tatis back, yeah. I think it'll make the National League West more fun.
So Bergman told me that – and I didn't see this. Last night, Juan Soto, I think, was 1-for-3 with 2 walks. Actually, Brandon Drury hit a grand slam on his very first pitch that he saw as a Padre. But after Juan Soto –
I was actually there.
You were there last night?
Scouting.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't trust the Dodgers.
I was in San Diego just for the day.
Was it sold out?
It was.
It looked like the crowd was pretty big.
It said sold out. I'd say probably 90% of the stadium.
And what was a lot of people just buzzing?
I mean, you got to understand something in San Diego. They literally they've had nothing to cheer about in how many years. And that's not just the Padres. That's the Chargers leaving. That's, you know, there's other things that come into it. Kind of had a vibe of a little bit of a playoff game. To be honest, I actually think that the set tomorrow, starting tomorrow at Dodger Stadium, don't you feel like the Dodgers-Padres, that will have a different vibe moving forward? That's not going to
be like Dodgers-Giants from last year.
And I'm not saying that the Padres can hang with the Dodgers, but it's a little bit more interesting than it was a week ago.
I got news for you. Dodgers can definitely lose to the Padres in a 7-game series.
Absolutely.
There's no question. That's how baseball works. There are a number of teams that can punch out the Dodgers. You just got to be good and hot at exactly the right time.
And, you know, Taylor, I guess, supposed to be back this week. He hit a home run.
Taylor, I think,
is rehab. Something
rehab
like that.
Yet.
You know, and, you know, guys, Turner was starting to play a little better before he got hurt. And, you know, even Muncy's getting a little bit better. I mean, hard to get worse, but like nobody likes Kimbrel in the back of the bullpen, but they're talking about putting
May
back.
Oh my God!
He was another e-ticket ride last night.
Yeah,
he's got traffic.
I mean, last
every
night,
game he's got traffic.
Tying
on the
run
bases.
At the plate. I'm like, oh God,
never ending easy with that guy.
But they'll find somebody to stick in the back.
I think Evan Phillips should be the closer.
Could be
personally.
Oh, I mean, you got him out of two.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one that got him out of that bases loaded. Yeah,
with no outs.
Yeah,
he's done it twice.
Yeah, and the reason why it's kind of interesting, we look at, they don't really have any holes, and the holes that if you point out a hole for the Dodgers, you got to be pointing out two for another team, right? So that even the holes that they do have, other teams got other issues. But I kind of feel like the biggest difference, and BK, you mentioned this earlier in the show, they're not going to be in a position come September where there isn't going to be a race in the final 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the season.
Yes.
So, just that alone is such a colossal difference than what they had to face last year.
Yeah, they had to go all the way down the stretch. They burnt their pitching staff out, and it's not going to be that way this year. They're going to get a chance to line up the rotation the way they want to line it up and hopefully get the first round bye and advance. And I think in that scenario, probably don't see San Diego until the
championship
National
series.
League championship.
But
even
if they end up having to play a first round, it's still different because – I don't think they will because it's not a one game thing, and they'll host it. So, like, you get 3 games at home, you got to win 2 of them.
I mean, I watched the Dodgers lose 2 out of 3 to the Rockies, 2 out of 3 to the Pirates.
They're not going to play those teams.
No, but I'm saying they
beat all the good teams, right? I'd be worried if the
bad teams.
What were they, like 19-2 or something in July, and like the 2 losses were to Colorado? or something like that. Colorado
and five,
or whatever it was.
July,
and Colorado won three games in the month, and they were all against the Dodgers.
Against the Dodgers.
Yeah, Pittsburgh beat them in a series. Who else? There are three teams that are bad that all took games from
took
the Dodgers.
The Pirates.
The Pirates, Rockies.
Who's the third one?
Reds, Rockies. Maybe? I can't remember.
Maybe the Reds. Yeah, maybe the Reds.
Mace, I would argue I'm going to Seattle right after the show.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing up there?
So my girlfriend's best friend has a baby shower. I know, guys. I know.
Yeah, is really dudes going to the baby shower now?
It's a co-ed baby shower.
Oh, God, I hate that.
And you got to fly to Seattle for it. And tickets.
I love Seattle.
Oh, Seattle's awesome. I love Seattle, too.
But baby showers, duo baby showers suck.
Okay, and I don't know if you guys have looked to go buy a ticket anywhere.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But you're basically going to Europe. The price to go to Europe, you're going to Seattle. I would argue it's the worst seat on the plane.
Which is?
You cannot get
last row, middle. No recline, middle seat.
John, if I show you the text, I asked my girlfriend, okay, you said it's a really bad seat. Where is it? She's like, there's 29 rows on this plane.
Right.
On our side, there's 29. Across the aisle, there's 28. There's 28 because there's a restroom right there. I'm 29 middle seat.
Oh, nice.
Last row middle seat.
Nice. Although it's a pretty short flight, right?
Yeah, it's not bad. 2 hours or so.
Yeah, 2 hours.
Like that.
Yeah, and the baby
now,
shower.
Now, is she next to you? Is your girl next to you?
She's next to me. She's got the window.
She's nice. Nice.
She wants as far. I've sat before.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors.
It's not bad.
It's a good idea.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Let her have the window.
Yeah.
Well, he's not married to her yet.
Yeah, but I mean,
would you like to be?
I've sat. I'm gonna end up in the middle. I've sat in that aisle row in the final one.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally close. Like somebody come into the restroom, I could open the restroom for them. Hey, please walk in.
You'd like the door?
Come on in.
Which I suggest.
Hand them a towel. Afterwards.
I actually think there's a promo in here somewhere.
Spray
like Alan Sliwa, like takes flights, and the station sells that. And like he'll open the door for you. It's
He's
like
had a lot
it's
of sales ideas
thin.
Today.
Yeah,
a lot
I
of
am
sales
here
ideas. You're
for
here
revenue.
For the sales.
I'm here to make revenue.
Were you at the meeting the other night?
I was.
And
yeah.
So I was on vacation. That's the sort of thing that I missed.
Yes.
Everything's supposed to be sold now?
Whiteboarding.
Whiteboarding. Nice.
Whiteboarding. No idea. Too bad.
No bad ideas except for that one. That's a bad one.
All right, Mason Island coming up next. Stay right here.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're gonna start out. You're gonna start out with the Mason's Fat Bit because that sucks. That's no way to start the day, Christopher Morales.
How much do you weigh now?
You know what? I weigh 211.
There could be.
Don't give me that Cheshire grin,
Mace. There could be a thing with a pot and a kettle here, but I won't mention it.
Also, you have a whole bet. There's bets against you for 195 by the beginning of Ram season.
195.
Yeah, that's a lot.
What was I thinking? I'm gonna have to just.
You're gonna make Ireland and Jorge a lot of money.
I am on a new eating plan.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
I'm
no,
sure that'll work.
No,
it's Popeyes.
No. I've got bags of food that are showing up every morning.
Beautiful.
Eat this or else. And once you start spending a lot of money on those bags of food, then you're like,
then you feel kind of obligated to eat them. Yeah.
I'm not gonna break down and eat donuts. So it's
I am scarred by your dreams.
Oh,
are
really?
The Rams nightmares?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. So you're gonna also go with that?
I love that drop.
You're
Thank
also
you
gonna go
that
with
away.
Kevin Demoff.
That was amazing.
My dreams are the Rams.
Yeah. Well, you said you wanted to have a catch with Matthew Stafford, and Kevin correctly pointed out what's in it for him.
Right.
And
I am scarred by your dreams.
Oh,
are
really?
The Rams nightmares?
That's brutal, Kev. You think he knows somebody.
Kershaw just gave up a two-run homer to J.D. Davis. They're down 2-1.
Okay, down 2-1 to the Giants. We'll keep you up to date on that. And by the way, Joey Gallo is in the lineup tonight or today and batting sixth. So he is in the lineup. So, John, it's an interesting day because, and I don't anticipate that there's going to be news to this effect, but today is the first day that LeBron James could sign his either 1 year or 2 year extension.
Right. Do you know when the last day is that he could sign it?
No. What is it?
March of 2023. So we're not in any hurry here.
Well, wait a minute. No, we are in a hurry.
Why?
How do the Lakers make long-term plans if they don't know if LeBron is here or not for the 2023-2024 season?
You, you hope that he stays, and then if he leaves, it opens up $46 million in cap space. You know, you could say that about anybody.
Yeah, but don't you don't let LeBron James walk away for nothing. If you think LeBron James is not staying, you trade LeBron James.
No one
you
is.
You can't let a great player walk away for nothing.
What do you think the value of a 38-year-old LeBron James is?
It's got to be better than no LeBron James, yeah, but, which is like, the alternative.
Seriously, what do you think that you could get for that?
Oh, I mean, I think he would put somebody over the top.
Right, but what would you get in return?
I think you can get a young ascending player and some draft picks. It will put somebody over the top.
Right, but I think no one's ever traded LeBron until it became a done deal, and then they went back and did a sign and trade to kind of make up for it.
But do you disagree with the fact that, like, let's say LeBron comes out and says, nah, I'm not going to do an extension.
Well, if he does that, if he comes out and says, I have no interest in staying, then yeah, then you explore what your options are. But
okay.
I don't think he's going to do anything until he sees what the roster looks like and we see. For example, is Westbrook here in the fall?
I've got money on both sides of this.
I know.
But I'm leaning kind of no now.
Really?
You come back to the other way. No. Well, I don't.
What does he have more money on, Bergman, that Westbrook will be on the roster or won't be on the roster?
He has more money on that he will be on the roster.
Yeah,
why does it matter?
I now think there's a reason.
Well, it matters for LeBron.
Why does it matter? He's not here next year anyway.
Right,
but for this year is the question.
But if he's going to sign an extension, what Russell Westbrook bring on the team this year doesn't matter.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Because Russell is gone at the end of this coming year, correct?
But we're talking about whether Russell Westbrook is here for this season.
Sure, but for LeBron, I'm saying for LeBron, why does it matter if he assigns his extension?
He gives up all his leverage if he doesn't.
If he likes the idea of Kyrie Irving, if he wants Buddy Hield, if he wants Eric Gordon, guys that will sort of finish the roster, then to me it makes sense why he would hold that decision for now. Yeah. You don't see the difference?
I mean, no, I see the difference, but like Kyrie is already saying he wants to be here next year no matter what. Russell Westbrook is not going to be here no matter what. So why does he not just sign his extension? He knows that Kyrie's going to come here.
I don't think that's a sure thing. You think that's a sure thing that Kyrie's going to come here? I don't. Yeah, I don't.
But particularly if the Nets run it back with Kyrie and Durant and they do well, what makes you think he would come here then?
Because that's all he's said, been saying for the entire
offseason. He hasn't said anything.
Well, no, other people are saying that he's making his way to
Los Angeles.
One of
the big problems with this story is that LeBron, Kyrie, and Durant are not talking.
Right.
Nobody's doing any interviews.
Well,
so
wasn't Durant
it's just
talk
people
to,
reporting.
Didn't Durant talk to Joe Tsai, the owner?
There was a report that he was going to talk to him this week, but this week isn't over. And right. I don't know if it's happened yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Bergman thinks Kyrie's coming. I think I'm leaning towards Westbrook is going to be off the roster, although the story came out, I think Joe Van Bua from The Athletic came out and said that Darvin Ham is going to have much more latitude in terms of being able to bench Russell Westbrook if he's not fitting and if he's not if it's not working the way they're playing.
Let's talk about that for a second. So as you know, I've always been in Russ's corner. I was in favor of the trade. I love Westbrook. But even I, like the world's biggest Westbrook fan, thought it didn't work and
right.
It didn't fit. If Darvin does do that and benches Russ down the stretch, how's that go in the locker room?
Well, it's a good question.
I mean, you're gonna have a disgruntled $47 million a year player.
Right. It's up to Russ.
That's exactly where I was going.
His decision making. It's all that stuff.
If you keep Russ and you run it back from what you had last year, you're counting on him to be a team player.
Right.
Last year with Frank Vogel, Russ pointed fingers at the coaching staff.
Yes.
The perfect scenario for the Lakers would be, if Russ stays, is that he adjusts and plays the way that Darvin wants to, and
right.
he is out there at the end of games, and then you don't have any turmoil in the locker room.
Right,
but let's see.
Yeah.
If you bench him, is he going to be one of those guys that you know, supports his teammates and says all the right things. Have we seen that before out of him?
I've yet to see that.
Yeah.
Yet to see
that. So there you go.
That skill set.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah. All right. John, we've got a couple of things here. Actually, we have time for this right now. Last night before the Giants-Dodgers game, they did a tribute to Vin Scully.
Yeah, no, I think this was what Spectrum Sportsnet put together in 2016 when he retired, but I'm not sure I saw it then. And until the Giants played it last night, I don't ever think I saw it start to finish. But it's really good.
So here it is.
Many years ago, a little red-headed boy was walking home from school, passing a Chinese laundry, and stopped to see the score of a World Series game posted in the window. The Yankees beat the Giants 18-4 on October the 2nd, 1936. Well, the boy's reaction was pity for the Giants, and he became a rabid Giants fan from that day forward, until the joyous moment when he was hired to broadcast Brooklyn Dodger games in 1950. Ironically, October the 2nd, 2016, will mark my final broadcast of a Giants-Dodger game, and it will be exactly 80 years to the day since that little boy fell in love with baseball. God has been very generous to that little boy, allowing him to fulfill a dream of becoming a broadcaster and to live it for 67 years. Since 1958, you and I have really grown up together through the good times and the bad. The transistor radio is what bound us together. By the way, were you at the Coliseum when we sang Happy Birthday to an umpire? Were you among the crowd that groaned at one of my puns? Or did you kindly laugh at one of my little jokes? Did I put you to sleep with a transistor radio tucked under your pillow? You know, you were simply always there for me. I've always felt that I needed you more than you needed me, and that holds true to this very day. I've been privileged to share in your passion and love for this great game. My family means everything to me, and I'll now be able to share life's experiences with them. My wife, Sandy, our children, Kevin, Todd, Aaron, Kelly, and Catherine, along with our entire family, will join me in sharing God's blessings of that precious gift of time. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me on this incredible journey of 67 years of broadcasting Dodger baseball.
You know, he said one thing in there that was just blatantly wrong. The whole, I know because he's so humble, the whole, I've always felt I needed you more than you needed me. I don't know if we've ever needed somebody more than we needed Vin Scully over these last, you know, through the Frank McCourt years and then through the pandemic. And, you know, I don't know. I'm fairly sure we're never going to see anybody like him again.
No, never.
But. Mace, I don't think anybody's even going to come close. I mean, I think it's like Wayne Gretzky. Ever look at Wayne Gretzky's stats? He has, like, numbers that are up here, and the next closest guy is, like, way below him.
Right.
I think Vin is so much better than anyone else ever to do baseball that he'll just never be surpassed. You know, I found we can play this on the other side if you want. You never knew where he was going.
I
found this story he told about beards. And it delves into a history lesson as to why more guys in the big leagues now are wearing beards. And he's talking about, I did some research and it trends back to the years of Alexander the Great. I'm like, what? Come on.
Yep.
Who does that? Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Are you ready, by the way, for the Raiders to start on their Super Bowl conquest journey tonight? The Raiders play tonight. Did you know that?
Yes. So
why aren't you more excited? It's a first chance you'll see at the 2023 Super Bowl champs.
I don't get out of bed for an exhibition game.
Either do the Rams.
Either do the Rams, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, no, the Rams have their first exhibition game next Friday night against Houston. Not going. I don't want to go.
Yeah, give those tickets to somebody.
Go. Yeah, my friend Sue Kalinske's going to go. She'll good. Take in the stadium for the very first time. But yeah, no, I don't. Now, will you actually watch any of the game?
Well, I've got it. I'm doing a podcast right after the show, but. So I'll watch the second half.
Yeah. It does put me in a good mood for football, though. It will not be long.
Football's here.
Will not be long. I was scouting out tickets for September 3, USC versus Rice. What are you making that face for?
That you should be scouting out tickets. You should just be able to walk up to the Coliseum and buy them.
No, it's going to be a whole new thing.
No, I bet you right now I could go on StubHub find tickets for $20.
We'll do a test to see. And by the way, I want decent tickets. I don't want to sit up at the rim of the Coliseum.
All right, so there's 90 rows at the Coliseum. What's reasonable? Middle's good. Like 40, middle. Row 40 is good.
I don't
good.
Want to be down too low.
Okay, so between – is this reasonable? Between rows – 20 and 60.
Yes, that's reasonable.
Okay. All right.
So you think you can find something?
I'm looking good. Right now. I'll have it for you when we come back.
Okay, we'll do that coming up next. Also, John, I've got three nominees for Song of the Summer. I want to play them for you. You tell me if any of the three are it.
Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine.
This summer. This summer. Mason and Ireland,
710
ESPN.
Mambo number five.
I am scarred by your dreams the Rams' nightmares.
So what did you think you were going to have to spend?
I thought something in the $250 range.
Okay. So I can get you in – these aren't bad. Section 114.
That's good section.
It's right behind the end zone.
Yeah, I like the end zone.
And you'll be exactly 20 rows up.
Okay.
They'll be kicking field goals right into your seat.
Right at me. Yeah.
$70.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, there you
go.
Okay,
I see those seats. Those are good seats. I like that. Do you like end zone seats when you go to a game?
Don't mind them at all, particularly if all the action comes into your end zone.
Oh, exactly. Well, you know what I used to do during the glory days, during the Pete Carroll days, when we used to go down in the field and watch the games as media people? I would always go to behind the end zone of where the team was headed. And I'd walk from one end zone to the other end zone based on possession. It's a great way to see the way the game
is
moving.
The other thing is these seats that I just got you are right by the tunnel where the team runs in.
Yeah.
So that'd be good. That's
nice.
Section 114, row 20. Snap those up.
Snapping now. All right. That's the big showdown against Rice.
Now, I wonder how, in comparison, UCLA football
tickets. Doesn't UCLA open against Bowling Green?
Oh, why aren't you going to that?
I think UCLA opens against Bowling Green. Bergman, you would know.
I don't memorize the schedule at the moment, but I can find it out.
Bowling Green.
I bet you memorize the basketball schedule.
I do not. There's way more games.
Mason, September 3rd. Are you here September 3rd?
That's the same date as the Rice-USC game.
So how are you not supporting your Bowling Green Falcons? They probably never played a game in L.A.
I wonder what the line is on Bowling Green versus UCLA. Producer, look for that.
Okay, so let me see what that would cost you. Roughly a similar seat, $50. Row 28.
Row 28.
So it's more expensive to see USC Rice than it is to see UCLA Bowling Green. That makes sense. But it's soon. We're less than a month away.
Less than a month.
Today's the 4th. That game's on the 3rd.
This is so great. I can't wait for football season. All right, so, John, we always, every summer we say, all right, what's the song of the summer? What is the song of the summer? So I
Skyrockets in Flight, Afternoon Delight.
It was in 1977. So here's my test. So I listened to – we drove down to San Diego and drove back on Saturday. We turned around and came right back. And I listened to a lot of Kiss FM, which I think is where the hits play, right?
Okay, so if you say so.
There were three songs that jumped out at me because they played like every 90 minutes – and as potential song of the summer candidates.
All right, let me hear them.
Okay, so number one is the big one. Her album came out last week, and this is a really big record. You won't break my
soul. You won't break my soul. Is that Beyonce?
That's Beyonce, yes. So don't vote against the Beehive.
Okay.
Unless you're afraid of without getting stung. What do you think, Jorge? Song of the summer candidate?
I'm not feeling the song, no.
I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just I'm not.
What do you have against Beyonce?
Nothing. It's just the song's not, you know.
You know the Beehive.
The Beehive will come after you.
You're getting stung, man. All right, here is number two. If you're feeling down, I just want to make you happier, baby. Late Night Talking.
Well, Harry Styles is pretty popular. He was in one of the One bands, One Direction, One Republic, One.
I think it's One Direction.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I can see that.
It's a big one. And then the one that Greg suggested, which is actually really good too, is Nicky Yor. I got my head out this sunroof.
It's very auto-tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the first two.
Everything is auto-tuned. I think you just don't like that song because I asked for it.
No. I don't know who this is, but it just sounds very Britney to me. It sounds very auto-tuned.
I mean, it's a summery song. Like
it is a song. Put your head through the sunroof. Yeah.
Driving down, you know.
What is she, a dog?
Driving down PCH.
Exactly. Tongue wagging. Yeah. Put your head out of the sunroof.
I vote Harry Styles on this one.
You vote Harry Styles.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's one vote Beyonce. For Harry Styles. There's one vote for Beyonce, Afraid of the Beehive.
Give me Nicky Yor.
All right, Mace, so you're going to decide it.
The song of the summer is... Harry Styles.
Yeah.
This song plays, I swear to God, every 45 minutes on Kiss. It's crazy. So there's your song of the summer. If you've got a different idea, at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E on Twitter, at L.A. Ireland. Every year there's a song that sort of rises above everything. And I think we're at the point of the summer where all the summer songs have come out.
Oh. There it is.
It's a visit to 1977.
Or to Anchorman.
Or to Anchorman,
One or the other.
76.
Do you know this song,
Horner?
That's
what Tyler told me, yeah.
Oh, 76? Oh, there you go, 76.
Whatever happened to Up With People? Remember when they were doing the Super Bowl halftime show?
They disbanded. The world became too negative for them. Nobody wants...
Nobody went up with people. They went down with people.
Right, everybody's angry with people. That's the new group. Angry with people. All right.
We could start a group called Down With People, and it would probably be a hit.
Down With People! Yeah, right now, especially. I can't find a line, by the way, on Bowling Green versus UCLA, but I'll tell you.
UCLA is minus 25.5. However, you want something good, I have a good climate alert for you from Goodable. New data shows that parts
of the Great... Is this one of your good news stories that no one gives a crap about?
Great Barrier Reef have the highest amount of coral ever seen in 36 years. It indicates the Great Barrier Reef could still heal from decades of environmental damage. That is good, positive news, thanks to Goodable.
There you have it. Give it up for coral. No, I mean, the coral reef is a really important thing. It's a living thing and all that, and I really want it to do well.
Every time somebody tries to start a good news channel or a good news newscast or a good news segment in Bergman's case, you can hear the ratings being sucked out of the air.
No, keep them coming, Bergman, because we get to goof on them a little bit, too.
That's true.
Yeah. Go coral. I'm on Team Coral. All right, coming up next for you is Wheel of Questions. Ireland, is it your wheel or my wheel today?
I think it's mine.
Okay. It is John's wheel today. We got that coming up for you, plus the three most valuable franchises in the NFL. They just released some numbers.
In the NFL. All right, let me take a shot here. Hold on.
Hold on and do it next.
Well, you don't have to tell me if I'm right. Cowboys. And Cowboys.
Okay, well, you've got number one. It's number two and number three that are most interesting. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Okay, this is interesting.
Good.
According to a fortune teller who's never been wrong, something big is about to happen that will change your life.
Mm.
Do you want to know what it is? So it could be good. You could be about to win the lottery.
Could be terrible.
Could be bad. You could be diagnosed with a terminal disease. But something big, all you know, something big is about to happen that will change your life. Jorge, do you want to know what it is?
Nah, man. Hard pass. Anything with the future? No, thanks.
Bergman?
I'm with you. Unless it's an heiress coming into my life, I don't
oh,
want
God
to know.
For God's sake. It's so
well,
sad
you won't
that
know, you don't
this.
Know if it's an heiress.
No, I know. I don't know. Unless they were telling me I'm getting an heiress, that's the only reason I want to know, so I don't want
no,
to
you
know.
Don't get to qualify. You get yeah, either.
I don't want to know.
Okay, Mace?
You know, John, my life is all about living in the moment. This moment, the present, is a gift. No, I don't want to know.
Bring
that would scare the living hell out of me.
I'm the only one. Bring it on. I want to play. If I'm going to die tomorrow, I want to know about it.
You want to know you're going to die?
Sure.
You want to know when something bad happens?
I want to know if something good happens. Either way, if I'm going to die tomorrow, I would like to leave now at 1:45 and make the most out of this day.
Take the rest of the
yeah.
day?
And if I'm going to win the lottery tomorrow, I want to give you guys as much notice, in this case, one day, that you will never see me again.
Well, you don't want it right now. It just went down. It was like $1.2 billion.
I'll
it's
take,
at the bottom
I'll,
now.
I'll show you how to spend $1.2 billion. My wife could spend $1.2 billion in 2 minutes. Yeah, I want to know. I'm a planner. I need to know what's going on.
You know what saddens? It saddens me that Bergman has gone on with this marry an heiress thing.
No. He it's needs real. To marry an heiress. I've never met anyone who...
Where do you even find one? There you go, an heiress. There you go. Love will keep us together.
I think everyone marries for love and no one considers money. Yeah.
I'm not saying you don't consider. I'm just saying, doesn't love come first?
No.
No.
That came first in his first marriage.
Exactly. Give me an heiress.
Marriage, like my friend Marie told me years ago, I worked at this really attractive anchor and her boyfriend came in and the guy was like 30 years older than her.
Right.
And not in her league.
Okay.
And I went, I knew her pretty well. I went, all right, what's going on there? She looks at me straight face. She goes, married for love the first time. I need security.
Heiress effing driven town.
There it is, right there. Heiress effing driven town. I like it, Bergman.
So sad.
No, it's not sad.
So sad.
Think about how great it would be.
It's a loss for love.
No. Think about how great loses. It will be when Bergman gets buried at the Beverly Hills Hotel and everybody gets a suite and the heiress's dad just picks up the tab.
It's amazing.
Love comes.
Are there any more
steak?
Are there any more Hiltons? Paris and Nikki are both married now.
Are they? I don't know anything about them.
Motel Paris Sixes got married last.
Motel Six is fine.
Yeah.
No, Motel Six heiress?
Somebody told me that the person in charge of In-N-Out is a woman attractive and single. That could be your girl.
Okay, call
Greg.
A local
In-N-Out.
Ask for the corporate
office. Is the owner there?
Hello?
Would she like to maybe go to a local baseball game?
Get her away from the fry bin. I need to talk to her. So that's sad, Bergman. Love conquers
Lindsay
all
Snyder.
Except
nothing sad
Lindsay
about it. It's
Snyder.
Smart, Greg.
Lindsay Snyder. And by the way, if you are Blonde, an heiress, beautiful. If you are an heiress, and I know that's a demo that we've always done traditionally well with, go ahead and
Send your financial statements to at LA Ireland. I will be
vetting you exactly.
Bergman.
Vetting you.
If, all right. By the way, if it does not, if your net worth does not start at $1 million, no need to apply.
Oh, man,
you're out. It's over.
What will an heiress see in you? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
What are you talking about?
I am a sparkling young lad.
Yes, a sparkling personality.
Did you say you're a charming young lad?
I said
very
a strapping
athletic.
Young lad.
Greg, I think you should play up the fact that strapping young lad who's in the tribe. A lot of heiresses need to marry someone in the tribe.
Very good with money. I can watch over it very well.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to suggest that.
No, I'm suggesting
it. Yeah.
No, I can say whatever I want. It's my stereotype.
You can. It's your stereotype. All right, so I asked this question before the break. I said, what's the most valuable NFL franchises? And I've got a list of the top 10.
Okay, I think...
Nobody's seen this, so you guys are all free to
guess. All right,
guess
so
here.
Bergman, we already got Cowboys. I think the Rams are in the top five, considering SoFi,
yes.
considering everything. Has Rams is on that list.
Number two.
Okay,
wow. Number
so we got
two.
One and two. How about the New York Football Giants?
Yes, they'll be up there.
New York Giants.
Number four.
I would
think.
Would
the Niners be?
Yeah, I was going to say something
in San Francisco. Niners are in the top 10.
Niners, number five.
What about the Raiders?
New stadium?
The Raiders, new stadium.
No. Mark Davis is cheap and poor.
But they're still worth a lot.
All right, hold on to that, though.
Okay, hold on.
There's got to be.
Buffalo.
Oh, wait a minute. What about, aren't the Reds, or the Commanders worth a lot of money?
The Wooft?
Yeah.
The Washington football team?
God. In Washington, Washington's kind of expensive. Yeah, let's go with
DC.
Let's go with
Commanders.
Number eight, $4.78 billion.
Right, so we haven't missed something like what about
Philly?
The Bears? What about the Bears?
The Bears will probably be in there.
Number right. six, $5 billion.
What about Philly?
It's a big market.
Jeffrey Loria,
go
right?
with it?
Wouldn't be the Chargers, right?
No. They got nothing going on down
all right,
there.
We'll take Philly.
Philly, number nine, $4.7 billion. So you're missing
number three?
Three and 10.
All right, that's it.
That's it.
Oh,
three,
and 7 and 10. Three, seven, and 10.
What, you think like Seattle?
None of the Florida teams. No, I don't think it's Seattle.
You want to
do your Vegas one since we're out of guesses?
Vegas.
Vegas.
No,
not that.
Strike Bergman.
Hey, that's one of three.
By the way, I think the
you
catch
relax.
There is where Stan Kroenke owns SoFi. Mark Davis doesn't
Correct.
Own. It's a municipal situation that they built that new arena there,
right.
new stadium.
Wouldn't be the Jets, right, Greg? Because
it's New York still, but that's the same kind of thing as San Diego, right?
Yeah.
But it's the same stadium.
Jets, number seven.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we have three
so we
and ten.
Two more.
Missing three and ten.
Three is the one that's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why we can't think. Is it like Minnesota, Green Bay, since they own all their...
Oh, Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Put Green Bay in there.
Green Bay not in the top ten.
All right, now, what about Pittsburgh? Are they too small market?
Oh, Pittsburgh. Well, we should get it. If it's our last guess, we get a hint, right?
No.
AFC, NFC?
Yeah, it's AFC or NFC. We're only missing
AFC.
Two of them. Both of them AFC?
Hang on. Three is AFC. Both
yeah,
AFC.
Yeah, let's go New England.
Okay.
New England, number three.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So it goes Dallas, $7.64 billion. Rams, $5.91
billion.
Missing
7 or 10?
New England, $5.88 billion. You're missing number 10. There's a very easy hint. They just sold.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver.
Denver.
Yeah. Denver. Okay. $4.65 billion they sold for.
See, Bergman, that's what you need, a girl with $4.65 million.
That's perfect.
Any of those Mara girls loose?
Oh, they're cute,
Kate
too.
Kate and Rooney are both really cute.
I don't see. Kate Mara is...
Rooney's not the Greg Bergman.
She's married to Jamie Bell. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Look up Rooney.
Rooney Mara.
Looking up Rooney.
Is married partner with Joaquin Phoenix. So, yeah.
Okay. Really?
Let's stay there.
What's he got that you don't got?
Oh, he's...
An Oscar.
Yeah. He's got lots of stuff.
Did you see, I'd feel like Taylor here for a second. Did you happen to see that they've hired a new member of the ESPN Game Day team?
No.
It is, and I find this interesting, her name is Jess Sims. She's a Peloton instructor. She is one of those people that, like Kaplan...
But what is going to be her role?
She's going to be a sideline reporter. She's
okay.
a former player. She played college basketball at Trinity College, and she also did the in-arena broadcasting for the New York Liberty in the WNBA, and now she's making this big
Are they hiring her
leap.
For basketball or football?
For football. Okay. College football game day. But a Peloton instructor apparently is a way into the business now.
Good for her.
That's what Cappy uses. Like, come on, Cappy, ride.
Yeah,
but
he says he doesn't ride very much anymore, right? Wasn't he going to sell you his Peloton?
At one point he was. Bergman, when was the last time you were on
the Peloton?
Greg,
do you still have your Peloton?
I do still have it.
That's shocking.
I'd like
shocking.
To sell it.
You'd like to sell it for more than a new one costs.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. If you'll buy it from me, that'd be amazing.
You actually owe more on your Peloton than it would cost to go out and buy a new one.
And Correct. You haven't lowered your asking price.
Correct.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Not negotiated.
I haven't been on it since at least 2 months. I went swimming.
What? I went swimming.
That's my thing now.
Also swimming.
Yeah.
Do you swim laps?
Yeah, swim laps.
I can swim forever.
Yeah, you're just
We've
really
done this.
Slow.
I'm just slow, but I can go for a long ass time. All right, coming up next for you, John, something that yesterday I came across this, something that we'll do the Vin Scully thing.
With the beards.
With the beards,
yeah.
We'll do that, and something that pissed somebody off. I've got that coming up for you, too.
Excellent.
Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.